Let me say good afternoon to everyone. We want to welcome you to worship service on this afternoon with the Highland Heights Church of Christ. We're thankful for your presence on the line, and we know that we worship the Lord. The five acts of worship in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47, where we participate in those five acts of worship. We have the Apostles' Doctrine. We have a fellowship where we give to the Lord. We have communion where we take the breaking of bread as the Lord's Supper. We also have had prayer, and we've sung to the Lord. We praise the Lord. So we just want to continue to encourage us that in worshiping God, there are five acts of worship that one must participate in for them to fully worship the Lord. On this morning, we spoke from the subject in 1 Timothy chapter 4, be thou an example of the believers. And we talked about, as Paul had spoke to or wrote to Timothy, about Timothy being an example, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the verses number 12. And we defined then the word example being a model to be imitated and a pattern to follow. So we talked about this morning, I put myself out front as being the spiritual leader for the congregation that I am, to be an example or a model for others to follow. However, if I do something that's not consistent with the will of God, then I need to right the wrong and apologize if need be for that. But again, there should be some consistency in my behavior. And Paul even said in his letter to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he basically said to the congregation, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. So I need to follow Christ. I am to follow Christ. And as the scripture teaches, following one that's following the Lord, that's consistent with God's will. However, on this afternoon, we want to look from the Word of God. We find that Peter wrote in his first letter to Christians, he says something that we'll draw our subject title from on this afternoon, when he said concerning Christ, and my title this afternoon, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So we're just going to look at three verses on this afternoon and make it, as I say, whenever we look in the Word of God, we want to make it relevant to the time in which we live, make what was written back in the first century, make it applicable to 2023. And we're going to do that this afternoon with our text. Thank all those brothers that have participated thus far. Let's read our text that we're going to look at on this afternoon, and we'll draw some encouragement from the Word of God, and also how to formulate ourselves as a Christian. It's very important that as a Christian, that I, through the Word of God, challenge you and myself also that we live according to the Word of God and not simply live how we want to live. We talked about that this morning when Paul told Timothy that his example should also be in conversation. Conversation in the King James simply meant one's behavior, how one should live. And so in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 19, we'll read it and we'll come back and we will draw some explanations from the text. Peter wrote, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Let's look at this afternoon. Peter said, it is worthy of thanks. The word thank worthy. It is worthy of thanks if a man, talking about a Christian, for conscience toward God endure grief and you suffer wrongfully. Peter was telling those Christians, when I have a conscience toward God, that's a mindset or a perception that God is present. Yeah, whatever we do, we have to remember we are under God's watchful eye. Peter said, if that Christian being reminded, your conscience reminds you that God is watching you, you endure grief, and the word grief here means you suffer pain. And the pain that you're suffering is wrongfully. You know, we've had a lot in this country where those have been treated wrongfully by law enforcement and even others. So it's a mindset that Peter is talking about, is that because of my relationship with the Lord, and more importantly, because I realize that God is watching me, if I suffer wrongfully, or someone does something wrong to me and causes me pain, whether it be physical or mental pain. Peter said in verse number 20, we'll do a case study on this situation this afternoon. He said, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Now that's case number one. Peter says, if a person get arrested and he been doing wrong, he ought to keep his mouth closed. You know, because some people say, well, you know, I'm driving on the freeway and I'm going 80 miles an hour and the speed limit is 65, and the officer pulled me over for doing wrong. You know, if you have good sense, you know you're going to try to humble yourself. The fact that you are wrong, you ought not be trying to raise up. And I know I'm going, he done clocked me going 83 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. I'm wrong. Now, the word buffeted in the text means to be beaten up, but we're not going to go there. I'm pulled over, and the officer says to me, sir, you were driving, I had you clocked at 83. And a, you know, the speed limit on the freeway is 65. And I say, yes, officer, I'm sorry. I wasn't, you know how we do. Officer, I wasn't looking at the speed limit. I know my foot, you know, I have a, you know, I've been told by my wife that my foot is heavy. You know, she told me that. And so sometimes because I have that situation. My foot just heavy. Sometimes when I'm driving, you know, my foot just pressed a little too hard. And that's probably what happened in this case. And Peter said that, you know, you're going to get what you deserve. You know, you speeding, you got a ticket, and that ticket going to cost you. Yeah, you're going to have to break some off because you're going to pay for this ticket. Yeah, because you're going 18 miles an hour over the speed limit, Brother Stroud. 18 miles an hour. But, you know, if you go a little higher than that, 20-25, there ain't no ticket. You're going to have to come and see somebody in the courtroom. You grab me a ticket and say, sir, be careful. Be mindful of the speed limit. Thank you, sir. Thank you, officer. Appreciate it. You know, I was hoping he would, you know, sometimes we'd be hoping that he just, you know, kind of let us, you know, give us a warning. You know, we wrong. Now, that's what the word false means. False means you in sin. Yeah. I'm in sin. I'm breaking the speed limit. I'm past grace. Yeah. And so you be hopeful that he just give you a warning. But that's not going to be the case. You got a ticket. Okay. Then the second case, Peter says, but if, when you do well and suffer for it. So I'm driving the speed limit. I'm driving under 65. I'm actually over on the far right because I'm driving 55. And the officer pulled me over. And not only does he pull me over, he asked me, get out of the car. But officer, what I do, get out of the car. Yes, sir. Put your hands on the hood. They said, well, officer, what I do, put your hands on the hood and spread your legs. I'm finna search you. And from the text, you know, he kind of roughed me up a little bit because that's what the word suffer means, to treat someone in a cruel way and it's undeserved or it's unfair. He had no business stopping me and making me get out of the car, putting my hands on the hood, and then he frisking me and he may have elbowed me or kind of, because the word buffet means to be beaten up. Now, I want us to understand this in the context from which Peter was writing this, because it's not, I'm giving you a 2023, but back in the first century, verse 18 is more applicable to what we're talking about, because Peter told them, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Back then, they had those that had become Christians, they were still slaves. And they had masters. Sometimes, if they were fortunate, they were good and gentle master. But sometimes, they would get a master who would simply beat them up because they could. That's where the word buffet come in verse number 20. Sometimes they would get masters, and those masters would beat them up, do things to them in a cruel way they didn't deserve. It wasn't fair, but they did it. And Peter said, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable to God. When someone do you wrong and you in the right and you take it in the spirit of a Christian. I'm going to give you a Christian example. Jesus gave it in verse 21. How we should. We got an example in Acts chapter 5. Turn there. Acts chapter 5. The Bible says in verse number 40 regarding the apostles, Acts 5:40. The Bible says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. So they grabbed the apostles, and they beat them. They beat them up because of the fact they were speaking in the name of Jesus. You are preaching. You get beat up for it. Then they let you go. The Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. See, that's what the text means when Peter makes mention about glory. Yeah, in the text that we're looking at, when Peter talks about for what glory is it? In other words, in this text, you leave an impression on other people because people know what they did to you. They knew what they did to the apostles. And the apostles said, we are simply rejoiced because we were counted worthy to suffer for his name. But see, even though I'm suffering, that's not going to stop me. That ought not stop you from doing the Lord's will. The Bible says in verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's a mindset that Holland Heights, we got to have. That as our brother mentioned in his prayer today, that we teach people, that we people come to hear the gospel preached. Yeah. It's going to take the preaching of the gospel for individuals to obey the Lord. We had one this morning after worship service and Bible class this morning, put Christ on in baptism today. Why? We want to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to bring visitors. We got to bring friends. We got to bring family. We got to give them the opportunity that we had to obey the gospel. And these individuals counted it worthy that they were able to suffer shame for his name. So that brings us to verse 21 in our lesson. The Bible says, for even hereunto were you called, and we know we are called by the gospel, because Christ also suffered for us. But now, there's a different type of suffering. Don't mean the same. Our suffering were being beaten. Christ suffered as a substitute for our sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. So Christ suffering was and is our example that sometimes when you do right in this life, you still may suffer. But what the Lord is saying, this is the mindset of a Christian. Why? Because he left us an example. That's my title. Jesus not only suffered, but he suffered for each one of us because of the sins that each one of us had did. Christ allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and he died for us. And verse 23 tells us how he did it. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten nobody. But he committed himself to him that judged righteously. We talked about this morning. When you have trust in God, you commit yourself to God. And let God fight your battles. Let God handle. Don't take vengeance yourself, Romans chapter 12. You leave it up to the Lord. But when he talks about an example, the difference here. When Paul told Timothy to be an example, he wanted him to be a model for others. I am to be a model for the congregation. But in this text, the word example here means that I know when I was in school, when I was in my elementary years, you have to be somewhere in my age group to know this here. Young people, you may not know this, but I will share it in just the same. That's the best example I have to give you. When I was in elementary school, we would come in the classroom, and the teachers then, you had real teachers back then. Yeah, it was about you getting your education back then. But you would look in the board, you would go in your classroom, and they would start with the A. I think they call them uppercase and lowercase. And you would see A, B, C, D, E, all the way around to Z. And so when we were sitting there, we had those number two pencils, and we had those pages, papers, and the paper was designed for you to write those letters on there. You know, you were able to see how to make a uppercase A and then a lowercase A. You knew how to make that B look like a 1 and a 3 together. And then you made that lowercase B with a straight line and that bubble on it. And you learned how to do that. But understand what Peter was trying to tell them back then. No matter how good you try to write that letter, you will never be able to write it as perfect as it was above our heads. Why? Because that was perfection. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? We are to look up at Christ. He is our example. We will never be able to be Christ. But as long as we live, we can try to continue to write those alphabets more plainly and more clearer and more better, trying to reach perfection. I may struggle with some things in life, that sometimes I have to first allow the Word of God to marinate in my heart. I won't change overnight, but I keep studying the Word of God. I keep studying the Word of God, and that's how my example gets better. I keep practicing and practicing and practicing Christianity. And that's why Peter said that you should follow his steps. Jesus left a blueprint for all of us in the Bible. Yeah. And it's our responsibility to try to write those letters or to trace those letters as perfect as we can. We won't ever be able to do it like Jesus, but I can keep trying as long as the Lord allow me to live. I'm going to keep working on myself. He left me an example, and I'm trying to follow in his steps. Whatever issues I have, I'm trying to work on them through the Word of God. As I learn better, I am to do better. To learn better and not do better is to stay in sin. That's my lesson this afternoon. Christ left us an example that we should follow his steps. Yeah, we should follow his steps. Let us live and try to be more like a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does the word fair mean fair. Not in the Bible. You won't find it. So you're going to be treated unfairly at times. But I'm saying to all of us, even when I am treated unfairly, I still want to carry myself as a Christian. Be a model. Be a pattern. Jesus left us the example. If you're on the call tonight, this afternoon, excuse me, as we had this morning, young man came and obeyed the Lord. If you're on the call, somebody put you on the call or invited you on the call, you want to become a Christian. We find that one becomes a Christian, you have to hear the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, what I just talked about now, Christ suffered for you on the cross. He died. They buried him in a tomb. He rose the third day, never to die again. You have to believe that. Then what you have to do, according to Romans chapter 6, you have to imitate what Christ did to become a child of God. Jesus is a son of God. For you to become a son of God, you must imitate what his eldest son done. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, if you haven't obeyed the Lord, you are in your sin. I'm saying that in love. You're in your sin. But I'm also going to show you how to get out of that. Paul told him, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Jesus Christ died for sin. Verse number 2 tells us you have to die to sin. How do I die to sin, Brother Stroud? Verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you have to repent of your sins, meaning turn to the Lord. You need to confess, someone have to take your confession, found in Acts 8:37, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All that happened prior to baptism. Then you're baptized into Jesus Christ, as Paul said to them, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. In other words, when Christ died, that was they pierced him in the side, John 19:34, that was blood and water. When you die to sin, those two elements are also present, one in actual, one by faith. You are baptized in water, and by faith, the blood of Christ, Colossians 2:12, is in the water. that cleanses you of all your past sins. Then the Bible says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You die, your old man die. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So you come up out of that water. Now you're a Christian. According to the Bible, you're a member of the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, descriptive phrase to describe who the church belongs to. It belongs to Christ. He paid for it with his blood. If you're on the call today, or you're subject to the invitation in any way, we bid you to come as together we stand. My brother going to lead us. We're not standing. We're sitting. Excuse me. Our brother going to lead us in a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for your patience.